and welcome to another high-flying, wirework-supported episode of Good, Bad, Weird, and Wild, the monthly podcast series dedicated to picking out one cinematic figure and then dissecting their filmography, where we choose one film for each of the titular categories. A movie for the good, the bad, the weird, and you guessed it, a wild card pick. My name is Matt Reifschneider, and I am joined by my friend, co-host, and wandering warrior, Sean Kaler. How are you this evening, Sean?
Ready to study Tai Chi at the hands of a duck.
At the hands of a... Oh my god, are we going to cross? We might. We might here. Because I am utterly excited for today's cinematic figure. And before we get into the business, we want to let you know just who are we talking about today, Sean?
Oh, man, I can't even... I know I say I'm excited every time, but Jet Li is one of those dudes. I've never seen a Jet Li movie I didn't like. Actually, this is going to be hard for me on that level alone.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm really curious because he actually has a pretty robust career and many different kind of eras of his career for us to kind of dig into. Mm-hmm. So that we have a lot to talk about with Jet Li. So before we get too far into it, let's talk a little bit of business, get that out of the way so we can get on a jet plane. And we're not coming back again. So if you like what you hear today, please check out our expanding back catalog wherever you listen to your podcasts, on Anchor.fm, which is our sponsor and host, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our newest avenue, YouTube. Check out our other series, No Franchise Fatigue, and Fatigued But Not Forgotten, for all your weird cinematic analysis needs. And don't forget, while you're there, rate, review, and subscribe, or... somebody might kick you in the face. I'm just not threatening. I'm not threatening anybody or anything like that. I'm just saying that sometimes those things happen. Sometimes people get kicked in the face, Sean. That I've ever kicked you in the face yet.
Occasionally by this man born Li Liangji on the 26th of April in 1963. Right in the heart of Beijing, China. Basically, lifelong martial artist who got into film in 1982 with a film called Shaolin Temple. However, became known for the Once Upon a Time in China series and steadily built up his Hong Kong career until brought over to America with Lethal Weapon 4. How do you feel about the great Jet Li?
I thought you were going to ask me how I feel about Lethal Weapon 4, and I was actually just going to pass out. Does that count?
Hard.
Greatest sequel of all time. Bam! Just pass out.
Hard pass.
Okay, hard pass. Jet Li is, in fact, the best part of Lethal Weapon 4. So
I didn't hate Chris Rock.
Oh, fair enough. I forgot Chris Rock was in it. You know how long it's been since I've seen that movie? Damn.
Probably since it was in theaters for me, if I'm honest.
Damn. Have we had any requests for Lethal Weapon yet? That seems like something we would get requested. To get to your question, Jet Li, as I've expressed on this podcast before, and as I'm sure you'll have heard on some of our other episodes at this point, but Hong Kong cinema was always something that I was very interested in. Martial arts cinema was something I was always very interested in. For me, though, the movie that really introduced me to Jet Li was Romeo Must Die, which is it's nice to have. While I think his American stint of Hollywood films certainly leaves a lot to be desired in terms of like his filmography, it did allow an entry point for me. And so I cannot be too harsh on it. And it also allowed, because of his success here, it also allowed for him to... or for distribution companies to grab some of his Hong Kong films and release them on VHS and DVD, which I am more than thankful for, because that's actually how I was really introduced to Jet Li, was watching a lot of his older films, and that's where I fell in love with him. Enough so today that for Jet Li, for the four films that I pick, I actually distinctly did not pick any of his Hollywood films. I wanted to talk a lot more about his Hong Kong cinema, and I wanted to, for listeners out there who may not be... well versed in some of his other films. I am going to be talking about a couple of his mainstream films, but I want to reach out and kind of chat about his history with martial arts cinema. So I distinctly made that role for myself.
Doesn't look like we're gonna have as much crossover as you were afraid. I definitely chose the latter half of his career generally.
So. Yeah, I actually did choose two of my films are part of his latter part of his career, but they're both films he went back and did in China. So. Yeah. I'm actually really curious to hear what you said, because I know you're a huge fan of Jet Li. I'm a huge fan of Jet Li. We are, as I said, jumping on this jet plane. We are going to be taking a flight into his filmography. Let's talk a little bit about, I mean, the guy's an incredible athlete. He's an incredibly interesting person, and he has an incredibly interesting filmography. So why don't we just jump right in. Let's talk a little bit about his the first category, which is good. So hit me. John, what is your choice for Jet Li's good?
So, one quick caveat before I answer that. We have recorded an actor episode of this before, but we had a hard drive explosion and it never got released. So, to really briefly brief.
Oh, this is our first actor one? I forgot that our other one it died.
Yeah, so, which was going to be Vin Diesel, Heartbreaker. You heard Matt defend The Last Witch Hunter for the only time anyone has ever defended that movie, regardless.
I know, and no wonder that you say a hard drive exploded. You were like, nobody will ever The Last Witch Hunter wipe.
That was my martial arts move.
Yeah, right?
But anyway, sorry, to briefly brief, it's by character. So some of these are actually going to be discussing multiple films.
For sure.
So, regardless, the first one, and my good, has only been in one film, and it is incomparable. And that would be Chen Zhen in the remake Fist of Legend. A remake of The Chinese Connection or Fist of Fury, if you're one of the cool kids. This is basically like the perfect kung fu film. This is kind of a mid-career movie for Jet Li. I know I said I was mostly focusing on his late career. Hope we didn't cross over here. But just the fact is, this is like my favorite kung fu film. This is, to me, the perfect Chinese action film. For everything I look for in Asian cinema, the choreography is perfect. It's on point. The fights are memorable. The story is memorable. It actually is kind of brave because it deals with racism. It's something we've spoken of before with martial arts movies, the vilifying of the Japanese. This movie actually takes an interesting angle and says, you know, maybe what they're doing here is not good, but you can't hate them just because they're Japanese. And that is an interesting angle for a Chinese movie to take, specifically. So, but I mean, if we really want to get down to brass tacks, it's the fights. I've briefly mentioned before, but just gonna go into detail. My favorite fight in any single movie ever of all time, bar none, is in this movie. And it is Jet Li versus an entire class of karate students, and it is so good. Matt, by all means, I'm sure you've seen this movie.
I have seen this movie, Fist of Legend, a remake of Fist of Fury, the Bruce Lee classic. By the way, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes for Fist of Legend. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Goddamn,
I mean, it only has 10 reviews, but hey, still 100%. Nonetheless, audience rating, 92%. So this is one of his most popular films for good reason. You're absolutely right. Fantastic film. I am in the, obviously not the minority here on the podcast, but I actually believe that this is better than Fist of Fury as a film. And part of that is I really do enjoy director Gordon Chan, his take on things. I think Jet Li is phenomenal in it. You're right. The fights, incredible stuff. The blindfolded fight that he has with the Japanese master, the father of his girlfriend slash wife, depending on which version you watch, kind of what that goes to. But a blindfolded fight is insane. To be able to do the fast choreography that they do. No. Oh, it's insane. It's insane. Incredible stuff here, including the fight sequences. I actually think Jet Li, Chen Zhen is a great character, obviously. At this point, if you're a charismatic Chinese actor, the quintessential role to play is Chen Zhen.
Because Donnie
Yen played Chen Zhen.
He's a folk hero, right? Like, I actually think hasn't Jet Li actually played him multiple times?
I'm not sure if he's played him multiple times. I know that there's other characters that or other actors that have played him multiple times. Chen Zhen is a folk hero, right? And what's really interesting is Chen Zhen has a weird connection to my film for my pick for the good. So that'll be really interesting to kind of dig into for a second. But I agree, Fist of Legend, incredible film, incredible performance from Jet Li as Chen Zhen. And definitely one that you want to, if you haven't had a chance to check out, definitely check out. Easily one of his best films of all time. So candidly agree.
Wasn't it Yuen Wing-ping did the choreography on this? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yuen Wing-ping does, obviously, he's a, even in the West, a lot of people know who he is because of his work on The Matrix and Kill Bill. But he's an incredible, perhaps one of the greatest fight choreographers and action directors of all time. Top five, definitely. Incredible stuff here. And Jet Li often worked with him. So they definitely had a comfort level that really kind of solidified as time went on. But absolutely, Fist of Legend, good choice, my friend. Chen Zhen, great character.
So, how about yourself? What would you call his good?
So, I'm actually going to go, the film is going to be called Fearless. He is going to be playing the character of and I'm going to butcher this name. And I apologize to anybody out there that speaks Chinese and has to listen to us do this. But Hua Hyun-jia is the character's name. He is a real life character. This is actually a person that existed in history and was the one of the foundational members of the Wuxia schools for performing arts and things like that. That really kind of pushed Wuxia into being an athletic sport.
Which in the early 1900s. The art Jet Li does, right?
Yes. Jet Li was a Wushu fighter. Actually, Jet Li is like proficient in like 10 forms of Wushu. It's like an incredible amount of Wushu. I was doing some research on this before, and his abilities as a martial artist are incredible, and you can see it on film. His speed is just unmatched. Fearless itself is actually a later film from him. 2006 is when it came out. He does portray a realistic person. Now, the reason the connection with Chen Zhen, even though Chen Zhen was not necessarily a real person, and things like that, was in Fist of Fury, Chen Zhen's teacher is poisoned by a Japanese fighter and defeated. In those movies, his teacher is Hua Jianjin.
Oh.
So that's the school that Chen Zhen went to was a Wuxia school that was taught by this gentleman. So that is a fictional interpretation of it, of a way of this, like, again, a folk hero being passed down to another folk hero. But it's an interesting kind of connection between our two choices for good. So I just looked it up. Jet Li is a master of several styles of Wushu, including Northern Lung Fist style, Tumbling Fist, 8 Trigram Palm, Supreme Ultimate Fist, Shape Intent Fist, Drunken Fist, Eagle Claw Fist, and Praying Mantis Fist. And they're all northern styles, I guess, northern style of Wushu. So,
you ever heard of Praying Mantis?
You're looking at him. So, wow, you just pulled that right out. I love it. But no, the reason I chose Fearless, and I think in this role, not only is it kind of interesting to see essentially like what would normally be a historical drama in the West is a martial arts film in Fearless. Jet Li is a producer on it. He treats it very, very well. And the reason I wanted to choose this film for the good is that I do believe this is Jet Li's best acting performance, not only in the fight sequences or anything like that, but in terms of like actual performance. You get to see him. He's an inherently a naturally charming actor. Which is why he translated to Hollywood really, really well. He's a pretty charming guy, and his character arc in Fearless is incredible, because in the first third of this movie, he's an asshole. He is a strict, and you kind of hate him, and you're like, and he's like has anger issues and all of this interesting concepts that you don't normally see Jet Li play, because Jet Li's so charming and kind of good with comedy and things like that you don't get to see him really stretch his wings that way. And in Fearless, he really gets to stretch himself. And the ending of Fearless might be one of the most heart-wrenching endings to a martial arts film that I've ever seen. And the message behind that movie is just aces. So My choice for the good is Fearless. 2006, it is a modern film. It's actually one of the highest grossing foreign films in the U.S. of all time, which is kind of cool. But I do highly suggest, if you have not seen Fearless, check it out. Very interesting film. The Blu-ray that's out there has three cuts of the movie. So just a heads up. I do highly suggest watching the director's cut. It's a little long in the tooth. I get why they trimmed it. But there's a lot of interesting stuff in subtlety in the storytelling that's in that. Particularly from director Ronnie Yu, directed Fearless, which most people in the U.S. would know him as the director of Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
or Freddy versus Jason. But as it turns out, his Hong Kong career is actually very, very kind of luscious material, including Fearless. So that's my choice for the good, Fearless. Have you seen Fearless?
I think this one came out while I was in school, and I missed a lot of movies in that era. I think the latest Chinese movie I've seen Jet Li in was Hero, actually.
Okay. And also, for the record, another connection to your film, Fist of Legend, Yu Wenping does the choreography for this film. It doesn't have the greatest of scores on Rotten Tomatoes, 73% from critics, 86% from audiences. It's still certified fresh, because anything above a 60 is certified fresh.
Right.
So just throwing it out there, since I think Rotten Tomatoes scores are fascinating, I do highly suggest checking it out. There, I was reading some reviews of this movie, because when it came out, I didn't really read reviews. For especially martial arts movies, because I felt like Western audiences probably didn't appreciate them the way that I did, so I just kind of didn't read reviews. But reading reviews for this film is, like, very strange. Like, people have – I think it was Empire Magazine referred to this as barely above direct-to-video.
Wow.
Yeah. Bold statement. Bold statement, especially for a movie that was nominated for so many awards over in China for the Hong Kong Film Awards. I think it was nominated for like 7 or 8 categories. So,
what do Western critics know anyway?
Yeah.
Not much,
so,
if you ask me.
That's my choice for the good, Fearless. So now I'm really curious, because you do love Jet Li so much. What's your choice for the bad?
So for the bad, I actually went with Yin Yang from the Expendables franchise. I have deeply mixed feelings about the Expendables franchise writ large. I don't hate it as a whole, but every movie in the franchise has deeply misused Jet Li to the point that his character is useless. The movies would actually be improved without him altogether, because it could focus more on what the movie they clearly actually wanted to make, which is, you know, Jason Statham with knives and Sylvester Stallone with guns and Dolph Lundgren brings the crazy. So, I mean, barring a pretty decent fist fight in the first movie, you know, I mean, it's bad just on the sheer level of bad use of Jet Li.
Yeah, I agree. He's really only in... technically,
one.
He's in two Expendable films, right? He has one fight sequence in the second one before he literally jumps off a plane to get out of the film. and then he's in the first one through the whole movie. But yeah, you're right. He's far more of a secondary character. He's kind of in total with screen time, maybe in like 45 minutes of a movie.
And Jet Li's not an actor you hire to be standing in the background of these scenes. Like, this is, as you just elucidated on greatly, he's a master of 8 styles of kung fu. Like, holy crap, give the man a fight scene. Let him choreograph the goddamn fight scene. I don't care, but don't hire him and then make him shoot guns.
Yeah, that's definitely problematic. And I love Expendables too. I'm actually a big stan for that one. Expendable ones has its moments, and 3 is really problematic. But I agree, it's a misuse of him, which is it makes you wonder if there's something else behind that, or if it's just a misuse in general, not knowing how to handle him. And even like you said, there's a good fight scene between him and Dolph Lundgren in the first one, but even that is not like, I mean, compared to his other stuff, that's like bottom tier.
Yeah,
like it's a decent fight scene. It's just when you watch his Hong Kong films or even some of his other U.S. films, something like, you know, Kiss of the Dragon or something, the fight scenes in that are incredible. So you're like,
well, because Expendables, right, wrong, or indifferent, wants to be a gun shooty movie, and that's I don't think even necessarily a bad thing. I think Expendables 2 goes damn near into self-parody territory to a point. The Wolf, are you kidding me? And am I remembering that right? Is that who Chuck Norris played, the Wolf?
Yeah, I believe so. We'll just call him the Buffalo.
Yeah, there you go. Lone Wolf.
McCoy. Water Buffalo. He's a Water Buffalo. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Wolf because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, I'm you know, I wasn't huge on the Expendables to begin with. And then, like I say, I just think it's a deep miscasting, misuse.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Although his fight scene in Expendables 2, where he has the frying pans, that's pretty fucking good. But he had his team choreograph that one.
Yeah.
So it was, and I from my understanding is it was actually not even filmed with, he didn't even film with the rest of the cast. That's why he's only in one scene with two other people. It was like he filmed something in Hong Kong, and then
that was definitely they edited a second it. Unit. Yeah.
Yep. So that was my understanding. But yeah, I agree. I actually don't disagree with this. I do enjoy the Expendables franchise, but it is a horrific use of Jet Li. So.
All right. And how about yourself? I can tell you are also a huge Jet Li fan, and clearly you did not choose the Expendables. So what is it? What's it going
to
be?
I did not choose any American films. I wanted to talk about all Hong Kong films. Now, as I mentioned, Jet Li has some interesting eras of his career. And that includes for a short time, he decided to do a lot of films for Wong Jing, who I'm not the biggest fan of in terms of directing, producing, and writing. But right after Fist of Legend, he worked with him quite a few times. And in this era, which is in the late 90s, he started doing a lot of more interesting films and a lot of weirder films. And I used to think it was a weird era for Hong Kong cinema in general. And it's in this era, in 1996, that he portrays the character of Choi in the movie Black Mask, which in the English dub version, his character's name is Simon. Because Simon is obviously the best name to name your hero. Like, I'm just throwing it out there. Black Mask, man. I remember when this came out, it was released, I don't know, 99?
It's Hong Kong Captain America. What?
Based on a comic book, things like that. I think my problem with this movie isn't so much Jet Li in the movie, because he does what he's asked to do. It's just I'm not sure what he's being asked to do. And I think the problem is I'm not a fan of director Daniel Lee. I think Daniel Lee is very much an overrated director. I often, when I speak with my brother about this, I often compare him as the Paul W.S. Anderson of Hong Kong. So that just goes to show you kind of how I feel about him as a director. But Daniel Lee is super problematic. I think this movie's fun in a lot of ways. But again, it's a lot of Jet Li shooting things at times and dodging bullets and trying to survive weird exploding cars. And because it's a comic book movie, it's completely outlandish and surrealistic at times. It's got some fun stuff in it. There's some fun action sequences.
I was going to say, candidly in there. Thought it was reasonably well shot.
The director loves to use Dutch angles for everything, and that annoys me. And he loves, it's very late 90s in its editing. Like, it uses a lot of flash editing.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's a movie that doesn't really work. I want it to work. It just really doesn't for me. And I really think that he's kind of wasted in the film, because they just give him this kind of haphazard do-gooder who also happens to be a kick-ass, kick-ass superhero when he puts on a mask and an old cabbie hat. So he kind of looks like Kato from The Green Hornet.
Yeah.
I don't love this movie. I want to. It's, the movie's fucking nuts. I mean, the plot is just everywhere and all over the place, and the romantic love interest in it is almost all comedic relief in it, and so there's not a lot of grounding to it and things. It's fun, absolutely. I just think that this is a movie that this is a movie, if it didn't have a sequel, I would totally pitch on our other thread as one that needs to be remade, because I think you could do a good version of it. I just don't think that the 96 version is that good version. So I'm going to throw it out there. Choi from Black Mask is my bad for Jet Li. So yeah, that's it. So now, weird. You got a lot of choices here. He's done some pretty strange movies at times in his career. So what is your choice for weird?
So I've done a lot of weirds, especially recently, that were kind of low-key secondary goods. This time, unfortunately, I am gonna jump back into slightly problematic territory, although I personally enjoy this movie for what it is. Undeniably weird, though, and that is Jet Li playing Gabe Law, Gabriel Wu Law, and Lawless in The One. 2001 Jason Statham sci-fi movie that exists. Basically, the idea is, like, Jet Li is this guy who, he's like this criminal, Gabriel Wu Law, and he finds this technology, so sort of like sliders, right, where he can jump in between different alternate dimensions, and he discovers that if he murders himself in these alternate dimensions, he gets their power. It's pretty undefined, but he gets their power. And so it's sort of like Sliders and Highlander met and had a weird baby. And there's even a scene where you get to see like a Wall O Jet Lis from alternate universes. My favorite being the Rasta Jet Li.
Yeah, yeah.
Dreads and everything.
You get to see that. I never even thought about.
Yeah, I'm actually.
No, go ahead. On go ahead. Line. I got a question for you. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because I'm saying I'm on the line on this one. Like, I acknowledge it's a bad movie, but I don't hate it. I saw it at that age where I kind of enjoy it for what it is. But what it is kind of a trashy Highlander knockoff, if we're honest.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay. So I never made the Highlander comparison till just now. And there's totally quickening in this movie, isn't there?
Oh, 100% quickening.
Oh my god, I never thought about it that way.
Weird, but true story, and I have a weird story like this for my wild card pick too, but picked this up at the same time as Highlander Endgame. So, from a Blockbuster that was a block away from me, because you remember they used to do like 5 used DVDs for $10 or something like that. And that's how I used to get a lot of my movies, was deals like that. And so Highlander and The One have always had that kind of association in my mind.
That's fascinating. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. I kind of like The One. I know it's not a good movie. It's got a whopping 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Deserves every bit of it.
Yeah, I totally get it. I get why that's a thing. It is stupid fun. It's kind of fun. And I mean, I'm a sucker. Horror movies that have to do with doppelgangers terrify me. Action movies that have to do with doppelgangers highly entertain me. So I'm a sucker for pretty much every Van Damme movie because he plays twins and everything.
It's so weird.
Like 6 movies. He's got 6 movies or something like that where he plays twins. But... Or doppelgangers or other versions of himself or whatever. But I kind of like that. It's like, here's this one thing. So Jet Li gets popular in Hollywood, right? Romeo Must Die comes out. The One comes out after that. But he has this like weird spurt where he does a lot of movies that really advertise like how badass he is. So like the advertising for The One was like, Jet Li versus Jet Li. You know, like this idea like the only other person that could ever beat him is him.
And it shows the era too, because this was when Jason Statham was just starting to break out of comedies, because it's easy to forget he started out in British gangland comedies like Snatch and stuff.
Right. And this deserves to be in the weird because Jason Statham has hair in this.
Yeah, he does.
He's got so much hair for Jason Statham. I mean, this is, and as somebody who's also bald.
Good Lord, this is pre-Transporter even, I think.
Right. And so here's my point about this is that later on, he does War with Jason Statham, right? Where they told the marketing on that is brilliant because it's literally like, you know, Jason Statham's a badass. So is Jet Li. He's a badass. what if Jason Statham fought Jet Li? That's literally all the marketing is for that movie, and it that movie's not very good either. I think
I was
that
about
also
to say,
has
that
like
was on the razor edge of being my bad, actually, seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it might have the same Rotten Tomatoes score. I'd have to look that up, but I'm pretty sure it's a 14% also on Rotten Tomatoes for War. But I like the marketing for the one in War totally sells me. Like, I'm game. I'm game for both of those movies. Bad, good, bad, weird, wild, whatever. Like, I'm game for them because you're just like, you Jet Li's fighting Jet Li.
I mean, for the record, though, even though I'm making fun of it, it is a silly, kind of terrible movie. Yeah, it's something you can rent for like $3 on Amazon Prime, and that is definitely worth a $3 rental, at least.
Oh. For the chuckles and laughs, because there is some wild shit in this movie. And I will admit, though, the scene where he flips the axe and catches the axe in mid-fight, whatever.
Yeah.
Like that, I know it's CGI and shit, but that's a fucking cool moment. So, you know, it's say cool what you stuff. Will. Handedly, that one moment gets a 14% from me in terms of a critic rating. So yeah, I understand why this is your choice for the weird, because it is a very strange movie. But I actually kind of like it, and I think he's actually pretty good in it. So,
all right. And then how about yourself? What would you call the weird?
So I'm going to, so by the time that this episode comes out, I should have an article out on this film. This is a film that, I wanted to write about because I think this film is a highly overlooked and underrated martial arts gem. And this is a movie that comes out 3 years prior to Shanghai Noon, where Jet Li, as a martial artist, ends up in the Wild West and has to team up with a bunch of cowboys to defeat the villains of the time period. This is the sixth film in the Once Upon a Time in China franchise called Once Upon a Time in China and America. And this is the character is Wong Fei Hung, obviously the huge folk hero Wong Fei Hung here. Which was the role that really, really launched him into stardom, although Shaolin Temple was obviously a big hit for him. Once Upon a Time in China in the early 90s really, really launched his career. So this character, he had left the series prior to this. He had done the first three, left it, and then came back for this sixth entry. This is a film that is holy, holy shit entertaining. This movie combines martial arts, westerns, explosions. I mean, the villain in it is a cowboy who has like deadly bladed spurs, and he cuts people with them, and he cuts people's throats and shit. It's directed by Sammo Hung, who's an incredible action choreographer. Lar Kar Wing is also involved in the direction and fight choreography, who's the brother of Lau Kar Lung. Also, Lar Kar Wing is an incredible fight choreographer. I'm not sure if you would have heard our franchise fatigue episode about the one-armed boxer, but he was the fight choreographer for Master of the Flying Guillotine, was Lar Kar Wing. So, incredible fight. The action in this movie is astounding. It is so much fun. You get to see wild and stupid stunts. They obviously were like, let's take the setting of a Western movie, and we're just going to have so much fun with it in building these action set pieces. Did you ever want to see somebody kung fu fighting on top of a windmill? Because you might as well, because that's in this movie, right? Is there an attack on a horse-drawn carriage where the carriage flips over and goes off a cliff into a river with them inside of it? That's in this fucking movie, too. This movie's entertaining as hell. I recommend it to everybody who wants to watch an entertaining movie. Is it as good as the first three Once Upon a Time in China's with Jet Li? Not at all. It doesn't have the depth or thematic weight of those movies or the historical context that make those movies so good. But damn it, this movie should be seen more. More people should worship this movie because the fight work in it is incredible. Jet Li is charming as hell. So is Rosamund Kwan as 13th aunt, his fiance. This movie is just blissfully entertaining for me. I will recommend this to everyone that sees it. But the reason I pick it for weird is because it's a Western martial arts movie. And it's part of this long-running franchise that's known for being kind of an artsy, along with being a martial arts movie. And this one just like full bore goes for it.
Because I think kind of the two points I'll hit on that are, you know, since we do discuss actors by character, means I can also just mention I do specifically adore Once Upon a Time in China 3, where he's fighting the assassin. I really, really love that movie. I love this franchise. But yeah, Once Upon a Time in China and America is a wild, strange, fun movie. And I've always, always loved that kind of East meets West thing. Shanghai Noon, you kind of mentioned. But even like long before that, in the 70s, there was Red Sun, which is about a samurai in the Old West. Want to say
that movie is incredible too. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a good movie actually. Anyway, aside from that though, yes, this is a weird movie, but it's a very, very cool one. I'm always going to be a fan of throwing martial arts into any strange setting. Not really applicable for this, but by God, there's a Kung Fu Hammer vampire movie, and I love that too.
Yeah, well, and what's funny is like, I love this idea of like a period set martial arts in a different period that wouldn't fit. And then as I'm like, I just rewatched Once Upon a Time in China and America. And the whole time I was thinking there, I was like, wow, they really did fuck up the Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, which how also cool would have that movie been had it was done well?
Razor's Edge of being on my bad as well, actually.
Oh, God, that movie's terrible. Talk about misuse of Jet Li and Michelle Yeoh in that movie. Two wildly missed opportunities there.
You know,
but
the real heartbreaker for me too on that one, Brendan Fraser broke his body on that movie and cannot do stunts anymore. That's actually a true fact.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of why he disappeared from Hollywood for a while.
It is, actually, that movie specifically. What a shitty one to go out on, because he was so dedicated to being that character because he loved it. I wouldn't mind doing the Mummy franchise, actually. I really like those movies.
Okay, so that was my choice for the weird. So what is your choice for Wild Card?
The first movie I ever bought and owned on DVD, a very, very precious memory of seeing in theaters with my father, and that would be the character of Liu Jian in Kiss of the Dragon, a French kung fu movie that is awesome. This movie is just rad. I think this actually gets a little less attention because it didn't really light up box offices. I don't think it's particularly well or fondly remembered, especially in the face of his Hong Kong career before and directly after this film, actually. I can understand why people have completely forgotten this movie, but I adore it. The Interpol agent who's like the master of this weird kind of like weaponized acupuncture as a martial art, and he wears like these acupuncture needles on his wrist, and he gets kind of implicated because he walks in on a political plot where a French chief is trying to get away with, like, the story doesn't matter, it's an excuse for him to be on the run from this insane French police officer. In a weird way, it's like a half kung fu version of Leon the Professional. Like, he kind of helps out this prostitute played by Bridget Fonda, and it's just so cool. There's this fight in an office building between these two French savate masters, which is a French martial art. The boot is literally what that translates to. But it's like this huge, tall guy and the short, kind of spry, athletic dude, and they're twins. They call them, that's the character, like in the credits, they're called the twins. And it is just an all-timer kung fu fight for me. I love, love it. How about you, Matt?
Yes, absolutely. I am a stand for Kiss of the Dragon. I would vouch that this is his best Hollywood film, even though it's loosely Hollywood, westernized film, definitely, yeah. In those regards, followed closely by Unleashed. I do enjoy Unleashed, but I do think that
great
this is
Bob
his
Hoskins
best film.
Performance in Unleashed too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, that movie's fantastic all around. But I Kiss the Dragon, because it is a martial arts movie. You're absolutely right. Also, great use of a billiard ball to.
That famous trailer shot where he kicks it up and then kicks it into the dude's face. So good.
So good. So good. Stuff like that. There's a scene in this that's definitely a throwback to Fist of Legend, with him walking into the dojo, this random dojo or whatever, and he kicks everybody's ass in the dojo. Great, great sequence. This movie is good from top to bottom. It's got a good story. His performance is fantastic in this movie. Bridget Fonda is actually very, very good in this movie. I think you're absolutely right. This is a movie that's a westernized version of a martial arts movie that gets how martial arts works. And I think that that's a huge factor into why this movie's good. I like that it's darker. I like that it's a little bit more serious for his stuff, especially in the U.S.
I also have always kind of enjoyed that it's got this almost Kane from Kung Fu thing going for it, in the sense that it is very much a martial arts film. You know, you and I both very much stand behind that. But the bad guys use guns. The bad guys are still, you know, they're not honorable. They're not playing by martial arts rules. It's just showing a martial arts guy handling it.
Yeah, and I adore this film. I'm glad that we get to talk about it because it is not my pick for the final choice. I was shocked because I was going through his filmography and things like that to find out that this movie was not received well when it came out. Mm-hmm. It does not have the following that I thought it did. Partially because I'm a huge fan of it. I thought it did, and then to realize that it didn't, it was shocking to me. The fact that I think it was like a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics, which is weirdly low. I mean, some of his like shitty Hong Kong films have way higher scores than that. But 51% is just,
I mean,
it's an odd for me, but.
I don't agree with it, but I do kind of get the angle that it's a dour. Like, I don't even think there is a comedic joke in this movie.
Which was good. It didn't need one. And I mean, how the fuck did Forbidden Kingdom get a 64%?
Ugh. That's one where he plays Son Goku, right?
The Monkey King. He plays the Monkey King in it, and it has Jackie Chan in it, but it's like a Disney fucking channel movie. Also got, I believe it's got Mulan in it, the lady who plays Mulan. That was one of her first English-speaking roles.
Okay.
How the fuck, that movie's terrible. That movie's like a Disney Channel original really version of a martial arts. Although the fight scene between Jackie Chan and Jet Li is certainly enjoyable to see them on screen fighting each other. It does check the box, but.
For the first time in modern cinema, they did cross fists once in a weird obscure Jackie Chan movie called 36 Crazy Fists, but nobody remembers
that. Right, nobody remembers that. So no, I mean, it's how does that get a higher score than Kiss the Dragon's a far superior film. I think it's fantastic, and I think anybody who's listening to this who hasn't seen Kiss of the Dragon, maybe because of bad reviews or whatever, go see it right now. It's a fantastic film, definitely worth checking out. It is a little bit more of a European flavor to it. It definitely has that, like you said, that Leon, that French tone to it. I agree with you. Check it out. So that's a good one. So.
And how about yourself? Grand finale. What is the wild?
My wild card pick is probably technically my favorite Jet Li film. It's probably my favorite film that features Jet Li in it. The reason I picked Fearless over it is I think it has a better Jet Li performance. That's why my wild card will be my number two pick for best film of his, which is the film Hero, the Wuxia film, directed by Zhang Yimou, a phenomenal director in his own right, one of the greatest directors in Chinese history. This was his Wuxia film, controversial Wuxia film nonetheless in China, although that controversy did not cross over the waters here. I think this film is incredible. I think Jet Li is incredible. In this movie, he is not asked to emote much, which is why I did give Fearless over this one for my choice for the good. He plays a character who's named Nameless. He is a nameless swordsman in it, a nameless assassin sent to take out the warlord. And to do so, he has to kill three other assassins, essentially, to be able to get close enough to the warlord. He has an undefensible sword strike within a certain distance. And that's how close he has to get to the warlord to be able to take him out. The film is a Wuxia version of Rashomon, where it's told through the flashbacks of different stories and different interpretations of the same story. That is color-coded in gorgeous cinematography for this. I think Jet Li's performance in this is good because it is very subtle. He's definitely the protagonist of the movie. He very much shifts it He is not the heart of the film. That is actually belongs to the secondary characters in their struggle for the heart and soul of China, essentially, is kind of what the story tells. Controversial ending to it. I won't get too much into that because I do not have the innate understanding of the political nature of its finale. I don't want to get too much into that. Just note that it does have a controversial ending, and I apologize to anybody who feels offended that I would choose this movie because of that. My intent is not for this to be a political podcast by any means. I just think that this film is good and his performance is phenomenal in it. The cinematography and direction in it is just fantastic. So I don't know. Are you a fan of this, Wuxia?
Oh, man, the use of color, the settings. I think I actually mentioned previously on our One Arm Boxer episode, or we mentioned this movie briefly in passing before, but there's this sequence in this where basically to learn the motions for the sword strike, he has to do this calligraphy. And the house he's learning this calligraphy in is under attack, and there's just arrows flying through it. And at one point, like, he has to coolly catch an arrow out of the air, break off the tip, and like continue doing the calligraphy he's doing. It is just so cool, so well staged. The fact that everything in this movie is sort of, like you said, kind of a ruse to get close enough to use this perfect sword strike is so cool. And like this, the director, I just don't want to butcher his name. I know his name, but it's Zhang Yimou.
Yimou
is, I mean, he's so good. Right after Hero, he drops what? House of Flying Daggers, which is gorgeous film.
Another phenomenal wuxia.
Even most recently, 2 years ago, he did Shadow. Holy crap, how good is that movie?
Shadow remains one of my favorite action movies of like the last like 5 or 6 years. Incredible stuff. I think his work is
Dagger shooting umbrella, metal umbrella. How is that not the greatest weapon ever? But nonetheless, Hero, like you say, it takes its time with its story. It's slow. It's a drama. It's very much done like a historical epic. The martial arts in it is almost like incidental because it's more about grace and precision, and that's kind of ultimately the point of the whole movie. Is he's telling this tale because every time he, you know, impresses the warlord with another one of his great victories, he gets to sit, you know, a meter closer and a meter closer until he finally has impressed him enough he can use this perfect sword strike. It's incredible. Incredible movie, paced and done unlike any other kung fu movie I've ever seen, and you couldn't have chosen a better movie.
Yeah, and I prefer the movie Hero over Fearless myself. I would actually say Hero is probably one of my favorite films of all time, period. I think that this film is incredibly well done. So I'm glad we get to talk about it. And, Zhang Yimou has an incredible filmography, and he's definitely a director I think we should consider for this series. Even though lot of his early stuff isn't available in the U.S., so it would be something we would take a while to dig in to get everything.
Boy, it's easy to pick the bat on that one though, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. So yeah, I adore his stuff. Have you seen the trailer for his new one? It looks like it's a spy film called Impasse. Talk about a gorgeous film. Holy shit. That trailer is impeccably well done.
All right. Do you guys agree? What's your favorite Jet Li movie? Are you really, really pissed we didn't talk about Fook Sul Wan? I know Matt loves The Legend of Fook Sul Wan.
Yeah. Oh, shame. We didn't talk about those films. Oh, weird.
I did briefly reference having a duck as a Tai Chi master. That
it was called Twin Warriors.
Twin Warriors, that's what I'm thinking of. I do actually.
Which is a stupid title because Michelle Yeoh is very much a secondary character. It's not like she's a second lead or anything like that. I mean, it was
her,
like one of her
one fight scene at the end of it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was part of her comeback. In 93 was her big comeback, which is why, like, Police Story 3 Super Cop comes out at that time period. That's her kind of big comeback as a lead and stuff. But she's in this as kind of a secondary character. So Twin Warriors is a terrible name. Ugh.
But actually pretty cool movie. Definitely
great. I actually just, no lie, just watched it last night for this podcast because I thought you might pick it. So I just rewatched it, and I gotta love the duck scene. It's fantastic in it. There's some pretty funny stuff, the humor in it. Again, Yu Woo-ping does all the fight work in it, so
incredible fight sequences. There's a staff fight at the beginning I recall being like particularly cool.
Oh yeah, the fight in the Shaolin Temple in the beginning with the staff work is just stunningly well done. So maybe you're pissed about
that.
That
as your,
maybe
take that as your bonus ninth suggestion, because actually if you can see Tai Chi Master, I do really suggest that movie.
It's great. It's even on Blu-ray here in the US through there's a Jet Li Blu-ray collection, and then it's also sold separately through Dragon Dynasty, so I definitely would check that out. So but yeah, maybe you're mad that we didn't talk more about Lethal Weapon 4. Maybe you wanted us to give some love out there for Sorcerer and the White Snake, which I... Whoa.
Do you just need more terracotta soldiers? Well, where can they yell at us, Matt?
Yeah, where can they yell at us? You can go check us out on the social medias. You can get us at Facebook at facebook.com/NoFranchiseFatigue. You can check us out on the Twitterverse. Check us out at the handle NFFpod. Check us out there. And then definitely send Sean an email and tell him why... he really, really, really should love Expendables 2 for the Jet Li fight scene. Where can they find you? Where can they email you all their hate mail?
That would be nffpod.sean@gmail.com. Bring it on. I will take anybody on this particular subject.
I'm just going to email you and be like, the one is zero. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to yell that. The one is zero. That's all I'm going to put in there. So, yeah, maybe people are mad about Forbidden Kingdom. I was talking trash about that one. So that's all good. If you want to, feel free. You can tweet at me. I'm happy to take your tweets at the Movie Matt, THEMOVIEMATT. My name is a four-letter word also, so that goes there for that. So you can definitely tweet at me. You will be able to read. If you're interested in martial arts movies, definitely check me out. I also write for 36 Styles. That is an online publication that does some merchandise for martial arts, specifically T-shirts and posters. Has phenomenal artwork by Kung Fu Bob O'Brien on there, along with some other writers, some very prestigious writers that I'm happy to be part of there for. You can read my stuff there, 36. I will have, hopefully by this time, an article, by this time that this goes up, an article up for Once Upon a Time in China and America. I wrote a very in-depth article on that guy, defending that movie, as I did here. So definitely check that out. Well, you can read a bunch of stuff on there. I got my last article that went up last month was about King Hu's Inn trilogy, which I was thought about pitching to you, but that might be a little bit down the line. We'll talk about his, because it's not really a trilogy. It's just three movies that surround an inn from King Hu's filmography.
You know, the podcast would actually want to wish Jet Li nothing but the best. He fell ill a few years ago, and although he does still act, is unable to do physical acting anymore. And that's, it really sucks. Just degenerative disease kind of took one of our greatest physical actors from us. And it's heart-wrenching.
It's, it is. And, you know, he is still acting. He will also be in the upcoming Mulan. Plays the Emperor in it. So definitely check that out when it comes out. Support him. I don't know if you've ever read any about his philosophy or his religious. He's a devout Buddhist. He's got some really cool stuff in there too. I'm not a religious person myself, but I always find it fascinating for those kinds of things. He seems just like a really, really good guy. So, you know, we support Jet Li and everything, that we can. We think he's a pretty cool guy. So, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Definitely let us know what you thought. If you have any suggestions, other people that we should cover in Good, Bad, Weird, Wild, maybe a franchise we should cover. You know, did you want us to cover the Expendables? Did you want us to? Are we expendable?
Should we re-record Vin Diesel? Do you really want to hear Matt's plea for The Last Witch Hunter?
I will plea. You know what's even better is I am sad because in that episode, I pitch a sequel to that movie. I'm like, this movie deserves a franchise, and I argued for it, and now it's getting one. So, joke's on you. Guess who's right in this corner? True. It's this guy. So, but thank you guys for listening once again. You guys have a good night, and we will see you next week for our next episode.